Okay, this evening now we're going to take a look at Psalm 23. Notice it's a Psalm of David. David was one who was called and anointed to be the king of Israel as a very young man. You remember what David did when, and what David was doing when Samuel told Jesse his father, when he looked at all them other sons and said, "Is that all you've got?" Jesse said, "I've got just one little runt out there in the field. He's out there tending the sheep. He's a shepherd." Jesse said, or Samuel said to Jesse, "Go get him. Go get him. Bring him here." And when he came in, the Lord spoke to Samuel's heart and said, "That's my anointed. That's my anointed." David knew by experience something about the shepherd and the sheep, didn't he? And when he writes, "The Lord, my shepherd," he's looking to and rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, my shepherd. And that's what I'm going to use for a title there found in verse 1. As I said earlier, many, many people know the words of this psalm. There's a story that's been told over the years, and I believe it's a true story, about a very well-known missionary who came back from the mission field and was invited to speak in a rather large church over in England. And the old missionary came and preached his message. Large crowd there, many people there. And he closed his message by reading Psalm 23. And the people just sobbed and wept and rejoiced in the Lord, my shepherd. Well, in that audience, there was a well-known actor who had performed publicly in different theaters and different things. And oftentimes, this certain actor would quote Psalm 23. Well, that actor had a friend sitting next to him. And the friend turned to the actor and said, I've heard you quote that psalm so many times, but he said, I've never seen it have an effect like that. And the old actor turned to his friend. He said, "I'll tell you the difference." The friend said, What is the difference?" "I'll tell you the difference." And the old actor said, "I know the word to the psalm. That old preacher, that old missionary, he knows the author of the psalm. He knows the shepherd. I know the words. He knows the shepherd." And that's the difference. And there's a lot of people who know the words. A lot of people can quote scripture. A lot of people don't know that the scripture is all teaching us about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this psalm is probably the best known of all 150 psalms. It's often read by believers who are seeking comfort. And I often, myself, I quote this psalm to myself. A lot of times when I pray, I quote this psalm to myself. It's often read by believers who are seeking comfort and hope and assurance in a time of distress, in a time of trouble. Where does a believer run to when he's in distress and trouble? He can run to the Lord and not move a muscle in his heart, in his mind, in his soul, in his spirit. We run to the Lord and we meditate on His Word. And in His Word, we have comfort, don't we? We find comfort and relief. This psalm, Psalm 23, has all the psalms and all the entire Word of God. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ is not only called the Lord, my shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in John 10, is called the good shepherd. But you know, He's also called the chief shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He's also called the great shepherd of the sheep. Oh, what a shepherd we have. Who's the Lord our God? He's God my Savior. He is all and in all in salvation. He's everything in salvation, isn't He? As I often say, Christ is all. He's all in salvation. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. Neither is there salvation in any other than the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He is the way. The one who is, that David is rejoicing in, the Lord, my shepherd. The one that David is rejoicing in is the one our Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Salvation is in no other. This Psalm of Comfort, it's interesting. Psalm 23 follows Psalm 22. You say, well, why is that a big deal? Well, Psalm 23 is a Psalm of Comfort. What is Psalm 22 all about? Christ and Him crucified. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some think that the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree quoted this whole Psalm, Psalm 22. You see, we can have no comfort in Christ and the gospel without Psalm 22, without Christ and Him crucified. There is no comfort, is there? Because we'd have no salvation without. And then Psalm 22 is the Psalm of the cross. Psalm 23 is the Psalm of comfort. Psalm 24 is a Psalm of glory. The King of glory is coming in. We'll look at Psalm 24. Maybe next Wednesday, Lord willing. Without the cross of Christ, there can be no comfort. There can be no forgiveness. Without Christ crucified, we'd have no salvation. That's why Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. Him crucified. Without Christ crucified, we'd have no justifying righteousness, would we? Without Christ crucified, we'd have no pardon of sin. Now, let's look at verse 1 for a moment. The Lord is my shepherd, or the Lord my shepherd, and because He is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord Jesus Christ is the faithful shepherd of the sheep that was promised in the Old Testament Scripture. In Ezekiel 34, our Lord said, I'll set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. That one shepherd is Christ. In Isaiah 40, you remember this? He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom. In Zechariah chapter 13, we have a prophecy concerning the justice of God smiting the shepherd. You remember? Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. Smite the shepherd. That's the Lord of justice, smiting the shepherd. All tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout the Old Testament, we read about one who is coming. And then in the New Testament, we see the Lord Jesus Christ as a fulfillment of that promised shepherd. The one who was promised. He is called the good shepherd of the sheep that gave His life for them. As we read a moment ago, He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. No man takes my life. Remember, Peter was going to defend the Lord. Remember, he drew a sword. Peter wasn't a swordsman. He's a fisherman. But he thought he was going to defend the Lord. You remember what the Lord said to him? Put up your sword, Peter. I don't need your help. Don't you know I could call 12 legions of angels? That's 60, 70,000 angels. He doesn't need our help. He doesn't need our help. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So He is a good shepherd. He is a great shepherd. The great shepherd of the sheep. You remember from our study in the book of Hebrews, the God of peace that brought again from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Someone asked me the other day that's been attending here for a while, asked me if we have a church covenant. I said, yeah, we have a church covenant right here. His word is our covenant. He's made a covenant with His church, hasn't He? It's the blood of everlasting covenant, isn't it? So He's called the good shepherd, He's called the great shepherd, and then He's called the chief shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5. It's called the chief shepherd of the sheep that shall appear and come again and crown all of his sheep. That's what we read about in Psalm 24. The King of Glory is going to enter in. And we enter in him. We'll look at that, Lord willing, next week. But you remember from John chapter 14, our Lord said, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, we're going to be with the Lord, my shepherd, our shepherd, forever. Forever. He is Jehovah's shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, and he's the shepherd of a sheep. His church. He loved the church and gave himself for it. He bought us with his own blood. I trust we can all boldly say, like David, the Lord Jesus Christ is my shepherd. Remember, we turn one page over here in Psalm 27. The Lord is, and this is the same thing in Psalm 27, verse 1. That word is has been added. I guess it makes it read better. But the Lord, my light. The Lord, my salvation. In whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So Christ is everything. My shepherd, my life, my salvation. That being so, look back at verse 1, Psalm 23. That being so, I shall not want. I shall not want for any good thing. I shall not want. If you can say, by God-given faith, the Lord is my shepherd, then you can also boldly say, I shall not want. I have no want. He's met all my need according to his riches in glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is because who he is and what he has done that we can boldly say, the Lord has said, so we may boldly say with confidence, I shall not want. We shall not want for anything. Although I'm weak, although I'm a sinful sheep, although by nature I'm a lost sheep, I shall not want, for he's my shepherd. What does a good shepherd do? He goes out and finds the lost sheep and brings him home. He's able to perform all that he promised concerning the salvation of his sheep. Not one promise of God has failed and never will. Never will fail. Not one promise will fail. He's able to save us to the uttermost, all that come to God by him. He's able to keep you from falling and to present us faultless. I like that. He's able to save us, able to keep us. Over there in John 10, he said, I give my sheep eternal life and they'll never perish. He's able to save to the uttermost. He's able to keep us from falling and then present us. Holy, unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight. He's able to raise up our vile bodies and give us a new glorious body like unto his body. You remember, turn back to Psalm 17. Turn back a few pages. Look at verse 15. Psalm 17, verse 15. David writes here, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Wow. Going to have a body just like unto his glorious body? That's what predestination is all about. God has predestinated that we're going to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some religious person said, well, that doctrine of predestination is a devilish doctrine. You telling me that you call yourself a believer and you don't want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ? Wait a minute, I didn't say that. You just said that the doctrine of predestination is the doctrine of a devil. Predestination has to do with God making us just like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what every believer anticipates having, a new body like unto his glorious body. He's able to raise up our body, vile bodies, and give us a glorious body like unto his body. Philippians 3, verse 20. Now, from verse 2, down through verse 6. The Lord gives us 9 blessings in Christ, or 9 reasons why we shall not want for any good thing. And we know this, all things are freely given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. All things are freely given unto us in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember I preached a funeral for one of our dear brothers here who passed away a couple of years ago. No, I think it was a brother here whose sister had passed away, I think it was, or sister-in-law. But they asked me to preach the funeral, and I did. And I used Psalm 23 as a text in that funeral. Little did I know that lady was a member of the Catholic Church. And little did I know that a Catholic priest was sitting about 2 or 3 rows away from me. I couldn't resist. But I had to make the point that Christ is our high priest, that Christ is our good shepherd, that sinners have a mediator, and it's not Mary. It's Christ, the mediator. Sometimes you get yourself in trouble. But I just couldn't resist. And it wasn't out of meanness. It was telling the truth, wasn't it? We don't need an earthly priest to represent. We have a great high priest. He's Christ our shepherd. Now, the Lord my shepherd, because he is, I shall not want. I shall not want. You see that? Now, I shall not want for rest, verse 2, he makes me to lie down. I shall not want for rest. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Remember we studied in Matthew 11, the Lord said, come unto me, all your labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He is our rest. And these green pastures here, you know what they are? His Word. We feed upon His Word, don't we? The green pastures of His Word. The believer finds His Word most sweet and tender, like the fresh grass would be to a sheep. We feed upon Him and His Word. Through the Word we have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In His Word we find His sweet promises that gives the weary sinner rest. We rest in Him. He's all of our rest. He's rest for our soul, isn't He? He makes me. He's got to make me lay down. You remember when your kids were little, you had to make them lay down. It's time for you to lay down and take a nap. You had to make them lay down, didn't you? It's time to rest. That's what the Lord our shepherd does for us. He said, it's time to rest. Rest in me. Rest in these green pastures of His Word. So we shall not want for rest, for He is our rest. And then secondly, He said, I shall not want for refreshment. He leadeth me beside still waters. Beside still waters. He said, ho, everyone that's thirsty, come ye to the waters and drink freely, without money, without price. The wise man Solomon writes in Proverbs 25:25, as cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. That cold water to your thirsty soul, that's good news. Good news. Good news in the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ is a living water of life, springing up into everlasting life. If any man thirst, our Lord said, let him come unto me and drink. He told that woman at the well, you drink of that natural water, you're going to come back here and thirst again. You drink of that water that I will give you, there'll be a well of a water springing up into everlasting life. You remember what she said? Lord, give me that water. I want that water, don't you? The Lord my shepherd, I shall not want. He gives me rest. He gives me refreshment. Look at verse 3. He restores my soul. Now, we need restored, don't we? Because in Adam all died. in Adam we were separated. He restored our soul. I shall not want for reconciliation. He restored my soul. When Adam all died, and Adam were our sins separated us from God, He has reconciled us unto God. He restored our soul. And Adam all died, in Christ we're all made alive. He has restored us. Where sin abounded, grace is much more abound. In the Lord Jesus Christ, He restored my soul. I shall not want for reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling us unto Himself. He is the one who has restored our soul. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way, and the Lord has laid on Him our iniquity, and He has reconciled us unto Himself. We're unable to restore ourselves, unwilling to restore ourselves, unable to redeem ourselves. And the Good Shepherd came, and He reconciled us unto God by giving His life for us, by shedding His blood. We are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. He came, God was in Christ, reconciling us unto Himself. So, because the Lord is our shepherd, we have no want. He gives us rest. He gives us refreshment. He gives us restoration. And then it says there in verse 3, He leads us. He leads us. He leads us. I shall not want. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, if you would ask the average church-going person, what is the Lord talking about there where it said, He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake? Most people would say, well, He lead me in paths of morality and goodness and uprightness and these things. The Lord leads me to do that which is right. That's what most people, that's all they would see there. But that's not what He's talking about. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Christ, our righteousness. You see that? I shall not want for righteousness. The sheep by nature are dirty sheep, ungodly sheep, none righteous, no, not one. The sheep by nature have no desire to be righteous. They love darkness, not light. Talking about lost sheep. The sheep by nature see no need of righteousness. They think they're okay. And that's why, until they're taught the truth, many of them are going about to establish a righteousness of their own and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God revealed in Christ. It's only by His sovereign grace, the grace of God for Christ's name's sake, that the sheep are led to see and love Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is all our righteousness before God. He's my righteousness. My righteousness in this flesh is nothing but what? Filthy rags, isn't it? Would you present filthy rags to God who is holy? Well, that's insane. But God has provided for us a perfect, justifying righteousness in Christ. You remember this scripture? God made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Blessed is that man, you remember Romans 4? Blessed is that man whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. You remember He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's our righteousness. All of it. You mean my morality and goodness count for nothing? Nothing but filthy rags. Morality is not righteousness. Now, I'm all in on being good and moral and upright, but that's not our righteousness. It can't be because it's filthy rags. Christ alone is our righteousness before God. And think about this. Who's provided that righteousness for us? Christ! He will provide all things for us, and He has. Righteousness. He leadeth me in the way of righteousness, looking to Christ for all my righteousness. Now, look at verse 4. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want for fellowship. You see that? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For, why? Thou art with me. We have fellowship with Him. I in them, thou in me, that we may be made perfect in one. Thou art with me, David said. The Lord's with me. He said, didn't He say, didn't He promise? He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Lo, I said, He says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. I shall not want for fellowship. I shall not want because He is with me. He is with me. You say, well, preacher, I just don't feel His presence. Let me help you here. He didn't ask us to feel His presence. He said, you believe my word. Believe my word, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. For thou art with me. He has promised, never will He forsake us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not even death. Not even death. You remember Romans chapter 8, when Paul asked that question, who can separate us from the love of God which is in the Lord Jesus Christ? And that list is exhaustive, isn't it? Height, depth, anything nor any other creature can separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not even death. Although we walk in the valley of the shadow of death, we have nothing to fear. For Christ has taken the sting of death away. He's changed the character of death for the believer. He said, because I live, you shall live also. Death to the believer is just a shadow. You see that? I walk in the valley of a shadow of death. Death to the believer is just a shadow. For Christ has removed the substance of death. Now only a shadow remains. Death to the believer, and I usually say this at every funeral, to the believer, death is not punishment. It's promotion. I just got promoted. Promoted. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And then he says, in the last part of verse 4, I shall not want for comfort. I shall not want for comfort. He's my comfort. Remember, the Holy Spirit is called what? What's the Holy Spirit called? The Comforter. What does the Comforter comfort us with? Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll take the things of mine and show them unto you. Remember we read in Isaiah 40, comfort you, my people, saith your God. Speak to the heart of Jerusalem. Speak to the heart of God's sheep, His church. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sin. Double redemption. Righteousness. Comfort you, my people. That's our comfort. Christ is our comfort. You need comfort? You need assurance? One old wise man told me years ago, don't seek assurance, seek Christ. He's our assurance. Don't even really seek comfort, seek Christ. He's our comfort. He's our comfort. I shall not want. Our sovereign shepherd rules his flock. Notice he said the rod and the staff here are symbols of the Lord's sovereign, wise, righteous dominion over us, especially in regard to the sovereign lordship over his sheep. And that brings comfort to the believer. All things are working together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Our sovereign Lord rules his flock, guides his flock, feeds his flock, defends his flock, which brings us comfort. 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 Look at verse 5. I shall not want, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want for provisions. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. I shall not want for provisions. My cup runs over. He shall supply all our need according to his riches and glory. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly in Christ Jesus. The believer is not without enemies. Thou preparest me a table in the presence of my enemies. But because the Lord is our shepherd, we don't need to fear our enemies, do we? Isn't that what David said over here? Look at Psalm 27 again. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies, my foes, they came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I'll be confident. Confident in Him. Even in the face of strong opposition to the gospel, the grace of God, the good shepherd prepares the table of grace, spreads the gospel feast for us to feed upon and be completely satisfied in Christ Jesus. You remember from our study in the Song of Solomon, He brought me into the banqueting house and His banner over me was love. You remember? He anoints, verse 5, He anoints our head, enlightens our understanding, illuminates our mind by the revelation of the Holy Spirit to see that the Lord Jesus Christ crucified is all God's provision for us. Only that which God provides will God accept. He's called the Lord, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide for us. And He has so abundantly. Thou preparest this table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He anoints our head with oil, and our cup runs over. Our cup runs over. Verse 6. I shall not want for any good thing in this life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What time I'm here, His goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And then when this life is over, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'll dwell with Him forever. Goodness and mercy. The Lord, our shepherd, has these two faithful sheepdogs. Goodness, the Lord's goodness, His sovereign grace to us will surely provide all things for us all the days of our life. Good days, bad days, high days, low days. All of our days. And then His mercy. Goodness, the Lord is good to His people. Oh, how good He is. And then His mercy. His mercy. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. I shall not want for any good thing in this life. And I'll dwell in the house. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's not arrogant presumption. That's confidence in the Good Shepherd. You see that? There's a difference, isn't it? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All grace now. He is the God of all grace. The God of all grace who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Jesus Christ. After that you suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To whom be glory, both now and forever. He gives us all grace now and glory forever. This is not presumption, but confidence in our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. This shepherd of ours cannot fail. He has not failed. He will not fail. He cannot fail. You see why this psalm has been such a blessing to the Lord's people over the thousands and thousands of years that we've had to look at it. The Lord, my shepherd, I shall not want.